And here we are back and live again to yet another episode of Mead and Moonlight. Ever since that one episode where I totally screwed up the pronunciation of that, I'm so aware of that every time, and I'm just getting very nervous about saying that sentence. It's terrible. Well, and with me is, as always, Kuhn. Hello, Kuhn.
Guten Abend. Well, okay, people don't know we're recording this in the evening, but we are. Hello, Niklas, and I completely get your apprehension. People might not know it, I completely screwed over an intro at one episode, and from that moment on, I have not dared to do another. So I'm very happy that you're the one to take this heavy responsibility upon yourselves time and time again.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna give it my very best. So today, it's actually, yeah, we're recording this actually the evening or the night before the episode goes up, which I think is a first. So that's pretty, it feels pretty live. It's almost, we're gonna just inch our way slowly towards that until we do our first live episode, which will happen when my internet is good enough for that, because currently it's just not. Also,
yeah,
also, we're trying something different today, because I currently I have the pleasure of looking at Kuhn's beautiful face, because we're on Skype right now, and we thought that it might be beneficial for the recording if we can see each other while we talk, so for like a more human connection, and I'm really liking it.
Yeah, man, I feel the connection as well, and it makes me a bit shy. I have to be honest, but so we have to make do with all the means that we have, because maybe some people don't know, which is really cool if people don't know, because then they're sort of like alien listeners, that Niklas is from Germany and I'm from Netherlands, the guys that never could be together, you know. So we have to we both have girlfriends and we're very happy, but I was just going for the West Side Story angle here. I'm very happy to look at you. I just felt a moment of pride when you opened the episode and you were like, here we are for yet another episode. We've started this thing and we've delivered week after week after week after week after week after week. It's kind of cool. I'm liking it.
Yeah, I think this is gonna be episode 7, right?
6. The number
Six
of the beast.
Oh, really? Oh, well, yeah. So, I don't know if you still remember, you being like the audience, but this episode is the first episode where we sort of want to start with the whole audience participation thing. So, in the last episode, and also on our social media pages, we did sort of like a call to action to you to send in your submissions, to record yourself talking a bit about your favorite festival concert memory, and to send in a small voice clip of that. Which, social media pages are not really our friends. I think but both Kuhn and I have probably experienced very disappointing and disheartening things in that regard with our band pages. But, the page for Mead and Moonlight is very small, so we don't have that much of a reach yet. So that post probably got buried somewhere. So to be fair, we didn't get like a whole lot of submissions, which is fine, because we probably couldn't fit all of them in here anyway. But yeah, so I don't know what to do with that. I think Kuhn has like a whole rant ready for that. But do you want to elaborate on that?
Well, I could shed some light on this whole debacle of like small bands, folk or not, artists trying to reach a bigger audience. It's not just like gathering up likes and sharing your posts. I mean, you've shared a post and you're like, okay, huzzah, it's out in the world now. No, it's probably not, because you haven't paid, and B, There's people in your friend list that like to look at viral cat videos, so that's what they will be shown, and not your shout out for audience participation. So if this is the first time you hear this, the interactive bit is for realsies. So if you want to hear yourself or have us talk about your wonderful message, it's still open. It's still open. Go to the Facebook page and check it out. I can talk about the Facebook algorithm for days, but that would be a very disappointing podcast, Niklas. So let's not.
Okay, and also Kuhn, I don't want to put you on the spot here, but it is actually the 7th episode that we're recording right now. The 6th episode was the last one we released. I just checked on Spotify.
Oh God. Well, this is embarrassing. Well, then I didn't save my files the right way. That's the only excuse I have, because I was looking. I was like, oh yeah, episode 5 is there, so this must be the 6th. Okay, we're already at 7. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Which means we've been almost doing this for 2 months.
Wow.
Or, yeah, right?
The COVID podcast, yeah. Basically.
Yeah, I mean, it really is, too. Well, anyway, so, yeah, but basically what Kuhn said exactly the right thing. We're gonna do this thing more often now, where we're looking for your input on things. And we're just going to update the topics, I think, because, we're going to announce which topic we're going to talk about, and then you can send in your 2 cents, figuratively speaking. But also, literally, if you're feeling generous.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Nice. No, I like it.
Oh, that was awful. So, so now we're, the way this is going to work is we're going to, Kuhn and I, we haven't listened to the audio clips that got sent in, so this is as much as a surprise for you as it is for us, and, unfortunately, we're just going to play the recording, and then we're going to talk about it for a bit, and full disclaimer, we got 4 recordings, and it's all people we know. I mean, mostly it's... I know all of them. You don't know all of
them,
I think.
We're all a big family, though, so it's unavoidable. True. I mean, the folk scene. Everybody knows everybody, right? So, I'm very happy to have such a supportive circle of people around us.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So, and because we know everyone, I think we might just as well introduce the people, right?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So let me just introduce the first person, which is Alana, who has recently, or I guess not so recently anymore, but who has joined the band that I play in, Waldkauz, in late last year. You haven't probably seen too much of her yet because we haven't really played any concerts yet with the new lineup. But yeah, she's our new hurdy-gurdy and harp player. And here is what she has to say about her favorite festival memory.
Hi, this is Alana, now from Waldkauz. Previously, one of those obnoxious people who would show up really early and stand in front of the stage and watch the sound check. One of my favorite festival memories is the first time I went to Castlefest. It was 2011, and I was still living in Australia. And I'd been into pagan folk for 4, nearly 5 years at this point, and had just been dreaming of one day going to Castlefest because it was the festival to go to. So eventually I managed to convince my mum, and we managed to tie it in with visiting some relatives in the UK, and off we went to Castlefest, and it was amazing. I don't remember who exactly was on the lineup, but I know Faun was playing, and I know that Omnia were playing as well. And I remember very, very distinctly, after the headline show on the Saturday night, after the festival had closed and we walked slowly back to our hotel, I just remember being completely speechless. I was so overwhelmed by the awesomeness of the whole experience of getting to see these bands that I'd been listening to for, you know, a few years now, and dreaming about seeing live one day, but living on the other side of the world, I never knew when that was going to happen. And I remember as we walked along, I kept trying to say to my mom, wow, that was amazing, and, you know, reflect on the concert. But I would open my mouth and then no sound would come out because I was just, my brain had just melted from how awesome the whole thing was. And yeah, that's really stuck with me. And there's been a lot of very special concerts and festivals and events and funny things that have happened. But this memory is really special because it was the very first in this scene and music genre that I really love. And yeah, it really sticks with me.
Yeah, so that was the clip of Alana, who is a very enthusiastic music fan, I'd say.
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
People don't have the video going with this, but I'm like smiling ear to ear, because the passion and the enthusiasm of this world, the music, the whole scene, it just burst from her words, and just like she's living it all over again, and sort of got like a teary eye, like, oh yes, so it's so relatable, oh god, please take me there. And on the other hand, I feel like I've may not have given enough attention to the fact that I'm spoiled living in the Netherlands close to Germany, with her living in Australia, wanting to be where it's fairly easy for us to get. But that's amazing. And for me, it's just, I'm smiling ear to ear.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, but I think there is a couple, I definitely have talked to people who like came from all over the world to go to Kasselfest and to see bands play that they have loved like from afar. And I think that's just another testament to, I mean, that's probably like true for most kinds of music, you know, that there will be people dedicated enough to like travel like literally thousands of miles to experience that music. But it's just I don't know, it's very, I mean, I'm same as you. I mean, I come from, like, I live in Germany, which is still way closer to the Netherlands than Australia, so I guess I'm pretty spoiled in that regard as well. But I was just thinking, I can also still remember how absolutely floored I was after our first visit to Kasselfest. It was like a completely like different thing to everything I had experienced prior, and it was just it was just amazing. And There is a picture of me and Nina, because we went together, obviously, like on the train station in Amsterdam, I think, like on our journey back, and we are both a bit sunburned, but we're still absolutely like glowing with like the afterglow of experiencing that festival. And that's, yeah, and I can remember like driving on the train back and being like, I guess like being transformed in some way even. That was crazy.
Yeah, it does that to you. It does. And for you this is now a band member. For me, this is basically a complete stranger to whom I already feel connected. And I also love the accent, by the way, the whole... Yeah. That's cool to have. You should probably step down as frontman and let her do talking.
Oh, yeah, she sounds very elegant, right?
Yes. Okay.
But I'm not ready to give that up yet. Never.
Unlimited power! Never. Yes, I get it.
It's all I got, man. It's all I got.
Yeah, that's totally all you got. Yeah.
So yeah, that was the first voice clip. I was feeling a bit weird not like talking about what we just listened to, because anyway, that's the power of editing, probably. That's going to make that happen. So, Kuhn, maybe you want to introduce our next submission.
Do I? Yes, I do. It is my absolute pleasure. For the people that don't know her, through lucky happenstances in life, while I always knew this girl for a long time, she's now my girlfriend. We are bound by our musical paths, sometimes moving away from each other in the musical bit. So it's my girlfriend, and we used to be in bands together. So that's, I was going to go very poetic, and then I realized I didn't have the skills to be as poetic as I wanted to be. But I'm very curious to hear the next voice clip by none other than the harp player and my girlfriend, Chloe Bucker.
Good evening, Kuhn and Niklas. I hope you are doing well. I just wanted to come up here and share a personal favorite memory of mine. My name is Chloe. I play the harp in the band called Solo. And I'm also Kuhn's girlfriend. One of my all-time favorite memories actually consists out of being a whole week long. And that was back in 2016 when we went to the Italian festival Yggdrasil. I think Kuhn already mentioned bits about this in a previous episode, but Seed rented a van and we drove to Italy in 2 days, having a sleepover in Germany at a place I always went when I was a little girl with my parents, which we call Klaus Party House. The festival consisted out of 3 days, but with the traveling and in between 3 days, we stayed there in total of a week. And the festival put us in an amazing hotel with very delicious breakfasts and a swimming pool, which we really enjoyed together with the bands Solo, Seed, Kiasar and Omnia, who were all staying at the same hotel, which was really fun. I got to play 2 out of the 3 days, which was really cool. One day I guest with Seed, and the other day I got to play with my own band, Solo. The festival was in an amazing area with the best view. It was a bit windy on stage because the terrain was one big open field, but the atmosphere was great, and I look back at that week as one of my best musical experiences ever. Thank you. Have a great podcast. Bye-bye.
Okay, so that was a completely different perspective. Obviously, that was more from the musician side, and I think she has here described the most glamorous trip we've ever been on. A hotel with a pool. Yes, that is not normal, at least not for me. But yeah, like we talked about in the previous episodes, this was one of those festival adventures as a musician. It was completely surreal by being received in a very, very nice way, with everything being taken care of so you can energize before the gigs. And then also, like she said, the view was amazing. Sadly, it was a festival that might have overstepped they wanted to get bigger than they were ready for, which is, I think, the reason that they no longer exist. But they had some. I'm sure that their editions of the festivals created some awesome memories for a lot of people, because it was the perfect settings. And I wish, if I had the power and the money, I would make that festival happen again. But yeah, okay, so I'm a bit biased because I was there, but what are your views on this story? I mean, I completely reliving it.
Oh yeah, I mean, I remember being very jealous because I thought like, oh shit, because all those awesome bands are booked, why not us? And then sure enough, we were booked for that festival next year. I think it's so. I guess I can still sort of relate to that story because we experienced something very similar just a year later, and I think the festival took place in a different space that year, and I completely agree that that festival overstepped its abilities. I think they wanted to make something like very beautiful and big, and like I remember being like a bit dumbfounded when I read the lineup for like the year we were playing, and they had bands from like all types of different European countries, and I thought like, wow, that must be expensive. And I think in Italy there might not be the infrastructure yet for like to support a festival like that. So yeah, I'm very sad that it has ceased to exist as well, because I remember it was like an adventure to us as well, because we sort of extended our time there a bit and went on a little holiday with the band afterwards. Like we spent a couple of days on a campsite near Venice, and so we like thanks to being booked for that festival, we had an excuse basically to visit that city for a couple of days, which was amazing. So it's definitely like a fond memory as well for me, and it's so special because for both of us as artists, as artists, it's very special because we don't get to have like huge international tours yet. So to experience something like that feels like bigger than it might actually is, and it's very it feels like you're a proper musician now. At least that's how it felt to me.
Well, it just sucks that it's gone, but people, a wise lesson: everything beautiful starts out small and sprouts and grows into a beautiful tree like a seed. No, but seriously, don't be afraid to enjoy the growing, because sadly we've been witness to trying to go too big too fast, which is a big shame, but I'm just now it makes me sad. The international adventures. We almost sounded like we were glamorous artists. I like it. A big little fantasy world to retreat to.
Yeah, I remember getting there, like when we arrived, we didn't make a stop. I mean, probably like our way was a bit shorter than yours, probably, like being starting in Germany rather than in the Netherlands. But so we drove like for 16 hours or like for 14 hours maybe, and I remember being there, and it was sort of I mean, there's probably no Italian listeners to our podcast yet, so they won't get mad if I screw up like Italian geography, but so it was like, I think like a couple miles outside of Venice, like I don't know, that area where we went, it was very like flat, like marshes and small rivers and stuff like that. And I remember getting out of the car, and it was dusk, so there was very little light left, and I remember stepping out of the car and being like, wow, I'm so lost, I have absolutely no fucking idea where we are in relation to anything. That was so weird that I realized then that, oh yeah, I'm in a place where I know no one and where I've never been before, to because people here want us to play our music for them. And that was a cool feeling, I think.
Yeah, I can understand that. I always have this feeling when I when it sort of hits me that I woke up in my own bed this morning and now I am in a different country, super, super far away. And that's just crazy. And yeah, like the feeling that it works both ways. There's the people like Alana that make it happen, that you can, like, they're passionate about seeing bands. And then as a band, it's super weird, but the biggest compliment ever, that's someplace far away from your home, they actually want you to come. So that's the pinnacle. It's the pinnacle of everything, basically.
Yeah, that's true. So let's head over to the next, to the third voice clip, which was sent in by our only male participant, which is Dylan. Now, Dylan is mostly known to us as the husband of Alana, so they were kind enough to each record their own little favorite memory. I sure hope it's not the same one. So let's listen. I feel like I'm doing him a disservice by just introducing him as Alana's husband, but
probably, yeah. And also, if you're saying, I hope it's not the same memory, that would be really weird, because Alana was talking about her mother, and then he would also be talking about his mother, and they would be, you know?
No, I don't think that's how it works. Well, Dylan, if you're listening to this, you have many other great qualities that are just too many to list here. This is getting too insidery. Let's just listen to the damn clip.
Hi, it's Dylan from the UK here, and I wanted to share two short little memories with you. The first, well, both are Castlefest related, actually. The first was, I think, maybe the first or second time I went to Castlefest. I think the second. And we were jamming, I think, on the Sunday night after everything had finished. And there was this, you know, huge amount of people still in the camping area, and a few of us sat down to play some music together, playing, you know, folk songs, covers of pagan folk classics and so on. And within probably 20 minutes, the group of three had grown to probably 8 or 12 musicians and, you know, maybe 6 or 10 people dancing around us, which was just really fantastic. A lovely way to end a festival. That was a very late night. The other memory was from last year's Castlefest, actually. And this was something I hadn't done before, and I hope I get the chance to do again, which was a drumming workshop in advance of the Wicca ritual. And then Rob and Jacob Lund kind of led us through some of the rhythms that they were going to be playing as part of the Wicca ritual, teaching us them and talking as a group about the drums we were playing and learning from each other, and then all coming together during the ritual to join them in playing those rhythms. And it was a really nice way to connect with what's going on stage with what's happening in the crowd, and it was a really, really nice way to add some connection to that experience. So looking forward to the show. Hear from you soon. Cheers.
Yeah, so that was Dylan from the UK, although to the trained ear, the country of his origin, or no, that was probably wrong, but like we all know where he's really from, right? Oh, that's a secret for those who know dialects. How you look at me so questioning.
If he says he's from the UK, I believe the dude. He sounds very sincere. I loved everything about this message. And I sort of also realized, oh my god, maybe I've actually jammed with this man. Because I used to do this as well.
I'm pretty sure that he has talked about jamming with you. Or maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like you have done that.
Yeah, probably. Because I remember... okay, so just a slight detour, and then we get back. Because I remember I was super bummed with the... Sorry, Chaos Fest Organization founder. With the Silent Disco, because it screwed up this amazing jam potential. Because those were some of my greatest memories as well. Like, just jamming. Hey, guys, I know this song. Okay, well, shit, I know it too, but I didn't bring my instrument. Well, here you go. Join in. And oh my god, and we just went all through the night. Oh god. Oh. I'm 30 and I'm already like, where's the time? Yeah. Oh god. Do you have great jam memories?
So I have only gotten into jamming fairly recently because for a long time I wasn't too sure of my musical capabilities. And I'm not super into jamming folk songs or like traditionals. I'm more into like freeform jamming. And like, I know that sounds way too jazz than I intend to, but like where you just like someone picks a key and you're just starting to play and like make your way through it like that. Do you know what I mean?
But that's jamming.
Yeah, no, but
yeah, that's jamming for me. Like saying, I know this traditional, please join me. That's a session. That's not, I super dislike it when that happens. Super dislike. Yeah, great, great verbal communication skills, Koen. Super dislike it. I hate it when that happens. I like the freeform stuff. Yeah.
Dylan himself is an amazing percussionist with like all sorts of like frame drums and hand drums. So we've definitely jammed together when they both were here, when we were sort of like testing the waters with Alana and thinking about her joining the band. He was definitely there also, and we did like some very cool music making in that process. I hope we eventually get the chance to jam, Koen. That would be nice, I think.
Yes, we shall. I mean, just look at the opening jingle. That was just me, you,
yeah,
on a whim, and you already, like you from years ago. That's going to be a great, great thing if it eventually happens. Like the second thing, the whole interactive thing that was going on. Oh, God, I'm completely sort of talking in his accent. So let's not. Koen, let's go back to the Dutch accent. No, the interactive thing that was going on with the Wicker, I wasn't part of the whole of the drum workshop. I heard it was going on, and I know Rob and Jacob as awesome percussionists, so I can imagine that it was super cool, and that during the whole Wicker ritual, that the energy that went through them as they were putting those drum rhythms in practice, that must have been amazing, and I think the audience must have felt it.
Yeah. So for those, I mean, you probably all know, but we are talking about Rob, who formerly played with Omnia and Thundercrow, and who now I think he has like a solo project where he does like it's called Guada or something, where he does like some crazy percussion-y stuff. And Jakob Hillund is the percussionist for a variety of Scandinavian folk bands like Asinje, I think, and Virelai, and he also plays in Heilung, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so those are the two guys that did the drum workshop, so you know it's legit.
Yes, they're swell. They're swell guys, and they're talented, so that's a golden combo. Like I always said, musicians also have to be nice.
That's the one thing that Koen says. I don't know why I said it like that. It is weird looking at each other while we do this. Before, we were both just disembodied voices just floating around in the ether, and now it's just, it's so intimate.
Yeah. On to the next one.
I just think that it's nice that I'm hoping to see more of this sort of like interactive thing on festivals, you know, like this drum workshop thing. And I think festivals like Castlefest and also like Festival Medieval in Germany are doing great work in that regard by offering very many cool workshops for different instruments. I know that there on Festival Medieval there have been workshops for tin whistle and for Irish bouzouki even. So it's cool that to get like a whole like more interactive part going where people can also be part of the music. So I really like that.
Yeah, definitely. I know there used to be an open stage on some festivals. On Castlefest, we did a seed workshop where we taught our songs to surprisingly a lot of people, which was overwhelming, and we didn't really know what to do. But I really love that because people jump on the occasion. So it's obvious that whole jamming thing that happens in the wee hours of the night, that people are really motivated to get into that and share the universal language of music together, especially at those like unique events. So when this whole stuff blows over, let's do it. Let's organize.
Yeah. Totally.
The Bandcamp Jam or something. I don't know. That sounds bad.
A Bandcamp Jam. Yes. Sounds very... I don't know. We'll figure something out for sure. All right. Let's get to the last submission of the night, which comes from Maren, which is... wouldn't know how to pronounce her name in English. Maren. So Maren is a friend from Germany. I know her through the MPS, which is like a big traveling medieval fair in Germany. And I think the first time that I met her was when she approached me with like a hollowed out watermelon that was filled with like a mixture of the flesh of the watermelon and vodka. Or rum. It was rum, I think, not vodka. So immediately I knew that she knew what was going on. So, yeah. So, yeah. Let's hear what she has to say about her favorite memory.
So I wasn't even going to do this, but I found an old photo of my favorite festival memory, so I'm going to tell you about that. This is Maren, by the way, and I'm going to talk about the MPS Bückeburg 2015 Sunday evening, which the MPS Bückeburg is mainly known within the MPS community for two things, which is it's rather extreme weather at the time of year, which is July-ish, so... the weather is either very, very wet or very, very warm. And in this case, it was both. And the resulting mud is the second thing it's known for, which is basically an omnipresent, very sticky, slimy, beautiful mud that we had a lot of fun with. So basically, we had this little mud party, started out as just a few friends throwing mud, smearing each other with mud, falling into the mud at the Waldkauz concert. But then we moved over to the Cobblestones concert and things started getting a little out of hand. Suddenly, we weren't like 5 people, we were like 15 people. Basically, the whole space in front of the stage was a muddy mess, and we were too. Pretty much the whole audience was participating in some kind of way. And even the Cobblestones, who were on stage, had this little contest for who was the muddiest person in the audience. And the winner got a bottle of Stollen 13, which is like the signature drink of the Cobblestones. So people started getting muddy on purpose, throwing themselves into the mud. I got like muddy handprints on my bra, which really finished off my outfit, really like gave it the finishing touch. The motto of the MPS that year was Sei was du willst, which translates to be whatever you want to be. And we wanted to be very, very muddy, and I think we succeeded. So that was how I discovered Waldkauz. I had the most beautiful Schlammschlacht of my life and made my favorite festival memory. I miss you guys so much.
So yeah, that was absolutely lovely. I am smiling from ear to ear, as you did in the first during the first clip. I actually remember that very well. As Maren said, it was an MPS, and I think that was only like the second year that we played at the MPS with Waldkauz. And so for some time there was this like group of like young hippie-esque alternative people who really connected with our music and our whole thing. And so because they were also muddy, I spent a considerable amount of time basically avoiding being hugged by very muddy people. And but it was so lovely. Ah, amazing. That's a very fun memory.
Yeah, it's the cool thing here is that for me, as someone that doesn't share this memory, this sounds like a festival that is heading towards quite a disaster with being wet, being very hot, being a muddy mess. Normally, that would be a cause for saying something went wrong, please fix this, I'm going to be very pissed. The opposite happened. And it became a contest and a super fond memory. I have these pictures going through my mind now, like with the whole mud pool in front of the stage, to the hands on the bra, you running away from muddy people. I think it shows a great spirit that of this whole, the whole, well, don't blame me, of this whole pagan folk thing going on. That there's great memories on all festivals like this. This is just more inherent to festivals. It's great that these memories are forged in the fires of the mud pit in Bukaburg.
Nice. Well put. Yeah. Yeah. No, that was, I mean, I don't even feel like I have anything cool to add to that, because that was so, because she really made a point of describing it so beautifully. In the beginning she said, I wasn't even going to send that in. I think we're very happy that you did actually send it in, because that's think, and probably like a lot of people listening probably can relate to maybe not to that precise memory, but to something like that, because I think everyone who has ever went to a festival has like a story like that, where you just got wet or muddy or dirty, but you just didn't care, and you just enjoyed yourself with your friends, with the music, and just with that devil may care attitude. I think that's so cool.
Yeah, definitely. And guys, you as fans out in the mud, out in the rain, out in the sun, that's incredible. Never stop doing that. That empowers everybody that's putting up an act, be it storytelling, music, oh, yeah, whatever. That's the greatest thing ever. Like forgetting your troubles and just giving the energy over to whatever's happening. Yeah. And
especially at MPS at that time, the deal was that we basically play three times a day, and sometimes the first concert was already like at 10:30 at, you know, early noon, and either that didn't matter if it was the hottest sunshine or like the just pouring rain, and then to have dedicated people who are still like coming out and who are still like willing to give you their energy willing to share the sort of energy with you, that's the best. That's really what keeps you going.
Yep. It's oh my God, man. I wish I could give it on a signed platter with saying the fan, the lover, the fellow adventurer has all the power to keep that which is beautiful going. And I think also the final statement that you did, oh, I super missed you guys. I think that's super relatable at this moment for a lot of people. I hope we can sort of connect you guys through this whole thing. But if we're going to have one small, not too long, real moment here, it's a special time. We all miss each other. We've sort of gotten addicted and to this whole great festival thing, and our year for a lot of people, including me, revolves around it. But then again, we're lucky to have it. We're lucky to be able to miss it, and after the rain, there is, of course, a new festival. So it's just we don't know how long the season's going to take, but we all miss you. You miss us, but Niklas.
Yes.
This podcast will not be complete without
the recommendation of the week.
Ta-da! Okay, we're still working on that jungle, guys.
Yeah, it's a work in progress. But before we do that, actually, I just wanted to do a short little plug of a self plug of something that we did, because the band that I play in, Vatkauts, yesterday we released a little quarantine session video, as a lot of artists currently do. We did like a remote recording of one of our new songs of our new album. Well, we have played that song for 2 years now. Maybe it's become a real live favorite of ours. It's the song "Danse Macabre," and you can listen to it on Facebook, on Instagram TV, and even on YouTube. So check it out there. And it's the first song released of our new album Labyrinth that is gonna be eventually released this year, if everything goes well.
Awesome. I was there. It's great. I love it. Do check it out.
Yeah, so, but you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Kuhn. This wouldn't be complete without the recommendations. Do you want to maybe start with your first recommendation?
Well, do I? Yes, I don't object to the whole notion of going first. I always hesitate which one to do first. Do you go with the bigger one? Do you go with the less known one? I'm going to go with the maybe lesser known one, but not first, not least. I don't know. The first one is a band called Oratnica. And it's a band that I discovered some years ago. And their clips are super cool. I'm just not going to spoil too much. I'm just going to say there's great vocals in there. There's amazing ditch playing in there. There's amazing percussion in there. And the song that I would like to recommend, which has a clip as well, is Vitosha.
So that sounds exciting, but you definitely got to send me, because I don't know how to type any of that, so you got to send me that so I can put it into the playlist.
Definitely. Yes, we will be Oh, no, I'm not going to take any credit here. Niklas will be updating the playlist, which has been doing a great job at. So we're adding 4 songs every week, and it's turning out to be quite a cool playlist with some underground stuff, guys.
So my first pick is actually one that I just came up with while you were talking about yours. I originally had something different, but hearing all that Eastern European words, I'm super bad at like precisely locating where that band is from. Do you know that?
What, the band that I just said?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Bulgaria.
Oh, cool.
But let me just... Okay, I'll get back to you. Yes, Bulgaria. Yes, I'm good. Okay.
So my first pick is also an Eastern European Slavic band. They are called Laboratorium Piesny. Oh, I'm so bad at pronouncing. Well, anyway. And their song, the song that I'm choosing, is called Stoi Pamoru, which is mostly a vocal a cappella arrangement just with some drums, I think. They're an all-female vocal ensemble and doing very ancient sounding and like rough sounding cool music. You can really imagine yourself in like the rugged landscape of those area when you listen to that music, and it's very cool vocal harmonies, and I think a lot of people probably have heard that song before or have seen a video. Their videos have been floating around on Facebook for a couple of years now, I think. But it's definitely very cool stuff, and it definitely fits the vibe of our playlist. So that is my first pick.
Nice. So you're talking about stuff that I don't know how to spell. This includes your recommendation. But I do think I've seen them floating around. But yeah, that's great stuff. Okay. My second one. For a moment, I thought, oh my god, he's going to steal my second one. But no, this is a sort of bigger one, but it's a band that I've discovered fairly recently when I just released this video. They were actually going to play on 2020 Castlefest. So, in homage of their not playing there, which might be weird, Skald. With the song and a great atmospheric video, Urun. And sometimes it happens with these bands that like they have one really cool song. So I checked out their entire album, and it's completely worth it. And they've also been doing some great webcam session stuff on Facebook without all the production value, and it sounds really good. So Skald, Urun is going to be my addition.
Nice. So, by the way, Laboratorium Piesny is a Polish group. I just wanted to check that. Don't want to throw like a lot of different cultures just into the same bucket just because you didn't bother to look up where they come from. So, you know, they're from Poland. So my second pick is another Scandinavian folk band. Since I sort of discovered that music for myself, but since then I've really been hooked. And so my main problem with folk music sometimes is that it's just a bit too lively. It's just a bit too much going on, especially if you just want to chill out and you just have like Irish music going on in the background. It's just too much sometimes. You know, it's too stressful. Too much noodling around with melodies. Who needs that? So when I feel like that, I usually go to a group that is called Grupa, and they sort of play this very sort of deconstructed, atmospheric variety of Scandinavian traditional folk music. So don't get me wrong, it's not atmospheric like in the pagan way, like Vadruna or Heilung or like Nytland or Fondom, you know, all these sort of like new Viking-y mystical bands. They do play traditional folk music for the most part, but in a very deconstructed way. So you have like instruments like the Hardanger fiddle or different types of Scandinavian lutes, and but you also have the sound of rocks grinding against each other, and of water streaming in a river, and of like sort of clanky wooden bits clanking against each other, and it's just very atmospheric, calm music with a very mostly a very relaxed vibe. And I just always think it sounds a bit like troll music, I think. Not in the happy way as Trotska Polska, but in a more misty way, maybe in a more mystical troll way, like a fog that lays low on the ground in a Scandinavian pine forest or something like that. That's always what I imagine. And they have 3 albums out, I think, all about different Scandinavian countries. And it's definitely all worth checking out. Just put it on while you're reading or something. It's definitely a treat. So yeah, that's my second pick. Oh, by the way, the song Ida is the one that I choose. But the good songs are all great.
That's not an option. You have to choose a song, so you saved yourself at the last moment.
Yes, very last moment.
Okay, so when you did the whole description of trolls and stuff, I was like, oh my god, we definitely need to add pagan or pagan folkish or fairy tale like or legends and myths inspired movie recommendations.
Oh, I bet I know what movie you're going to talk about.
I have loads. You have no idea, but I have quite some.
Oh, do you want to just do that real quick? Like each get one movie out?
Oh god, one movie. Okay, sure.
Do you need a moment?
I can say one. I'm going for Dark Crystal.
Do you want to elaborate or do you just want to?
I do want to eat Labyrinth. Haha, I did a second one. Haha. Okay, so this, it just screams the light and dark side and the beauty of myths and legends as fairy folk, the fair folk, their evil counterparts, craftsmen being able to show their bringing to life of these in the form of puppets I can't sum it up. I think I've given you a good impression, and I think I give you a horrible impression actually, but this is why we need to talk about this
yeah, that can be like a whole episode.
Maybe okay, your first one, bam, first thing comes to mind.
So, yeah, actually, that was the whole troll thing. Maybe not an obvious choice, but there is a total gem of a movie. I think it's very underrated, which is the film called Troll Hunter.
I know that one. It's great.
Have you heard of that?
It's in the cave that they're like, is any one of you Christian? No, nobody is. But secretly. Yeah. Oh, I love it.
So, no spoilers.
No, it's a different movie. Cool. I don't know what cut into me.
Yeah. Troll Hunter is a found footage film, basically. So, like the Blair Witch Project, which is probably like the most favorite one, or like Cannibal Holocaust, or you know, one of those. Troll Hunter is not really a horror movie, though it has like some spooky moments and some sort of brutal scenes, so I wouldn't recommend it for those with a weak stomach, so to say.
Children.
It's basically, it follows, or children, yes. It follows a group of university students who want to make a documentary, and then they basically find this government-employed guy who basically in the north of Norway, I think is where it takes place, who basically is like controls the wildlife, but the wildlife he controls are trolls. And for decades, he has basically, for the government, he has kept the existence of trolls sort of hidden. And they follow him on his journey. And it's, it's an amazing story. It doesn't take itself too seriously most of the time, but it definitely has some amazing moment, and it's just a very enjoyable movie to watch, and it's a It's beautifully shot because it's in a beautiful Scandinavian landscape, and it's exciting. And I, yeah, it's really, check it out.
It's actually how I got to the whole movie thing when you were talking about Grupa and about the trolls. I was like, oh my god, that reminds me of this movie. So yeah, that completely fits.
Yeah, that's why I was thinking that you were gonna like name Trollhunter as the movie.
Yeah.
Because it also made me think of that.
Yeah. Niklas, we are super bad at keeping this under an hour. Not a bad thing.
No. And I think like the time might show an hour, but it's actually going to be a bit less because we are going to cut out some of the bit. So I hope for all of us, I hope that I don't screw up the editing. But it's probably going to be fine. Yeah. So, thank you all for joining us for another week of Mead and Moonlight. I hope you had at least one of those things in your life this week, because they're both beautiful and precious. And, we're gonna record our next episode next week with a topic that is yet to be unveiled also to us. And, as always, please stay safe out there, entertain yourselves at home, keep in contact with your friends and family, and don't fall into weird conspiracy theories that are going, I don't know how it is in like the Netherlands, but in Germany there are some weird people saying weird things about that whole, about the whole crisis, which is very, I don't know, worrisome and also stupid. So don't let yourself, fall into traps like that. I know we're talking a lot about like resonance and magic and connection between through music, but also sometimes it's good to trust science and medicine. So do you have anything to add?
No, well, to the latter thing, the Earth is not flat, so I think that sort of sums up that whole bit. And I just wanted to say an extra thank you for everybody that sent in their peace of their mind. And I hope this sort of opens the other listeners up to maybe motivating them to do the same, because we really enjoy it to hear that for the first time. Like Niklas said, don't only stay safe, don't only stay healthy, stay sharp.